Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
They're down and one. Ball's on the ground. And it's recovered by Nashawn Wright. Snap a bit high. Kick is good. And the Bears win.
That's 2 weeks in a row that game comes down to the wire and find a way to come out on top.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Good week of practice. Very difficult challenge coming off a short week like this. Last time we had this opportunity, we didn't come out with the result we wanted. So it is a big week from that regard and our growth as a team to make sure that we go out there and perform well on Sunday.
That's the kind of winning attitude that's going to take this enterprise straight to the top.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
The most important piece. We're going to take the North and never give it back.
You smell like a winner.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Been a couple weeks practically living at Wrigley during the postseason, but back to Bears football. I know, Herb, I think you were sitting in the – you weren't in the bleachers at Wrigley, were you, during the playoff run? But I know you made it to a game.
No. Yeah, I was definitely at a game. The bleachers, I've retired from that wonderful experience.
Yes, smart move. Herb Howard from the Bigs joining me once again as we get set for Bears-Saints Sunday at Soldier Field, noon kickoff. And before we get into that matchup, a wild one against Washington, huge break late. Caleb Williams once again leads a fourth quarter comeback. We saw it even last year, Herb, but now it's back-to-back games where Caleb has put the Bears to win, in a position to win late in games, building drives. And he just seems to shine and elevate during those moments, Herb. When it's the pressure's on, they need a drive, they need points. It seems like Caleb always finds a way.
One of the things I respect most in people in general, but definitely in athletes, is calm under pressure. When the game's on the line, it's late, and they got to have it. The kid just seems to have a very low pulse rate, and it's not too big for him. He's not flustered. He's calm, and I think his teammates feel that. And then they take on that same demeanor, and this idea of going 70, 75 yards for a game-tying score or a game-winning score doesn't seem too large of a task, and I think he's largely responsible for that. I don't know what it is about that situation, but it brings out the best in Caleb Williams. I think it allows him to kind of just play free. He's not thinking as much. He's using his athleticism. He's using his escapability and his arm talent. But he just seems to be much calmer in those moments than, you know, sometimes you may see him in the middle of the third quarter or second quarter.
Yeah, and the consistency, that was something going into this year and, you know, even through the first two games. It's like, okay, let's stack some full four quarters. Let's not lean on a situation late. And Caleb even kind of joked this week that, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to be in those situations. He'd like to be blowing teams out and winning comfortably. But really good quarterbacks around the league, Herb, they get it done late in games, and I'm not putting him on a certain tier or anything like that. He still has to prove himself, but this has been a pretty good start to the season for Caleb.
No, I think you get to see that he definitely has that trait. I think it's a trait that we've seen from certain people over the years. I mean, obviously, a guy like Tom Brady would be the standard, but we've seen it from Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it all this season from Baker Mayfield. And we've seen it from Caleb Williams since his rookie year. I know the Bears found ways to lose some of those games, but just in terms of how he performs in those situations, I think that's absolutely who he is. And so, you know, I think we'll continue to see that throughout this season and throughout his career. But I think that he's absolutely right in terms of saying you don't want to be in those situations, especially when you look at how the defense is taking the ball away right now. You got seven takeaways in the last 2 weeks, yet both of those games come down to the very last play of the game on a special teams play, a blocked field goal and then a made field goal. If you get seven takeaways, you want to be able to put some distance between you and the other team on the scoreboard. That should be a two-score game, maybe a three-score game when you're getting that type of production in terms of takeaways from your defense. The offense has to find ways to turn those extra possessions into touchdowns and not just field goals. And it's good for Cairo to be able to make the kick that he made in Vegas, and it's good for Jake Moody to be able to make the kick that he made in Washington. But offensively, they have to be able to take the takeaway opportunities that the defense has given them and put more points on the board so that these types of games don't come down to the very last second.
What have you made of the defense? You mentioned the takeaways. They're second, I believe, in takeaways across the NFL. You know, and Ben Johnson talked about it this week, said it's by design, it's not by luck. And I believe part of that, I mean, you remember the Lovey days, they were just a that was a takeaway machine. And when you do stress it and you make every single practice about getting that football, I think it does translate to game day. Part of it is a little bit of luck, right? So, I mean, Jaden Daniels botching a handoff late in the game. And yes, the Bears were able to jump on it, but it has sort of felt like me kind of a bend don't break defense so far, Herb. I thought Dennis Allen had a really good game against Washington, and I know he's going to face his former team on Sunday, and he brushed it aside, but I just thought he was on it against Washington, Dennis Allen, where he was bringing pressure when it felt like it needed to be there. Didn't necessarily get the amount of sacks or get Jaden every single time, but what have you made of this defensive unit so far?
Yeah, I think back to kind of early on in the process, and DA was talking about not really caring too much about yardage and how much they give up in that area. It's about points. It's about taking the ball away. And I think they've done a really good job of taking the ball away. I spent a good part of Thursday at Hallis Hall just talking to the defensive guys. I talked to Coach Dennis Allen. I talked to Coach Al Harris about this idea of, you know, turnovers versus takeaways, because I started a question with Coach DA talking about turnovers that we want to call them takeaways. And I was like, I'm with you. That's actually where I was going with this question, because the Bears are actually taking the ball away. You look at something like the fumble from Jaden Daniels, that's a turnover to me. That's just the offense having a blunder and giving you the ball. Now, you give the Bears credit for having population around the football and Nashawn Wright for being there and being able to jump on it. I talked to Nashawn Wright about that as well. But the previous maybe 8 or 9 turnovers that we've seen from the Bears, those are legitimate takeaways. That's film study. That's understanding route concepts. That's punching the ball out. That's getting 11 guys, you know, running to the football. And so that's where you're able to create those turnovers. And those are takeaways more so than they are turnovers. And the Bears have done that much more than other teams, just kind of giving them the ball. You think back to Week 1 last year when Will Levis just kind of gave Tyreek Stevenson the pick six and ultimately gave the Bears the game. This year, you're seeing them really just take the ball away. And you know, they're taking advantage of every opportunity that comes. And so I think they're doing a really, really good job with that. But then you kind of juxtapose that with, you know, what they've been doing in the run game. I know they did a really good job of holding Washington's run game under control when Washington had been coming into that game as the top rushing offense in the league. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. You certainly want to see them continue to control teams in terms of the run game, but I think they do a really good job on third down. They've done a really good job in the red zone. And so when it counts, they tend to stand up. But like you said, it's this bend but don't break philosophy, which is okay, but I don't know how long you can live on that edge, continuing to depend on four takeaways against Dallas, 4 takeaways against Vegas, 4 takeaways against the Commanders. I think that's probably going to be a little bit of a recession towards the mean on that. And then what happens at that point?
I have loved the energy Ben Johnson has brought to Hallis Hall. And we talked about it throughout camp. And then it's the 2 games they lose to start the season. And then they rally and win their next 3. But he is intense in the right sort of way. He just seems so focused. I don't mean to overly hype the guy, but I just think, and I've said this, like, they brought in a new president, right? Kevin Warren, and there's a new direction, and they have a somewhat new general manager in Ryan Poles, and the young top overall pick quarterback. I'm including Caleb in this, Herb. I don't think there's one single person at Hallis Hall that can elevate the entire organization more than Ben Johnson, just because of his approach and the way he handles his team and the way he coaches Caleb. I think if the Bears want to get out of this rut of losing season after losing season after losing season, I think it's Ben Johnson. And yes, I know the players are the ones that are going to have to actually get them out of it, but I think Ben Johnson has been the one to totally change the tone at Hallis Hall. And I think the belief should be there from Bears fans. I know it's just a 3-game winning streak, and we're only 5 games into the Ben Johnson era. But I think he is the guy. We can talk about Caleb the Savior, but I think Ben Johnson is the one who can lead this organization in the right direction for years to come. Is that way over the top five games into his run here, or do you kind of get what I'm getting at here with Ben Johnson?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down for sure. I think that he's uniquely positioned to be able to do so. I think that's the head coaching position in the National Football League. You are the liaison between the players and the front office. And so, you know, how you communicate your message and your intentions and your needs to the front office impacts what they do in terms of getting you those resources. And then once you have those things, how you go about communicating this plan, developing your players and getting the absolute most out of them, that's your responsibility too. Right now, he seems to be handling both of those responsibilities very, very well. He seems unwavering about, you know, what he expects, what the standard is going to be. I think he has a really good plan for what he wants to do and what he ultimately wants this team to look and feel like and what that identity is going to be. And I think his players are buying into it. I don't think he's given them much of a choice. I think he walked in day one and let them know, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because the standard is going to be higher than it's ever been. And they've met that standard. They've risen to that standard. And when they haven't, he's let them know. He's corrected them. He's reprimanded them in one of many different ways. And so I think he's going to continue to do that. And if he can do that, and then the front office continues to get him the resources that he needs via the draft, via free agency, I think he'll continue to improve the product that we see on the field.
Caleb was saying that he thinks this Saints team is way better than a 1-5 team typically is. And I don't know if that's just Caleb showing respect or if he truly means it, but how do you see Sunday's game playing out at Soldier Field?
Yeah, I think that's also the National Football League, right? Yeah. First of all, you want to show respect to your opponent. You don't want to give anybody any bulletin board material. But also you look at teams that are 1-5, and then you look at teams that are, you know, 5-1. You say, hey, I'll play here or there, and the record could be flipped. And I think that's true in a lot of cases, but I also think you kind of look at the tape and look at the stats and says, yeah, this team isn't really that good. They're not that good on paper, and they're not playing that good on the football field. And so, you know, I get the respect piece, and I get, you know, how narrow the margin is between winning and losing in the league. But I think the Bears have a really good opportunity of getting their record to 4-2. I think they have to, right? I thought this was a must-win game coming into the season, even when the schedule looked daunting on the road. When you looked at games like going to Philly, going to Baltimore, going to Cincinnati as very tall tasks, now they don't seem quite as tall with the Joe Burrow injury. I know Joe Flacco played really, really well last night, but you look at what Baltimore's doing and how, you know, poorly they're playing right now, Lamar Jackson being hurt. You even look at what's going on in Philly, and now all of a sudden these road games don't seem quite as unwinnable as maybe they did going into the season. But even when they did, I thought this Saints game was a must win. I feel no different about that now. They barely got to take care of business at home when they get teams like the Cowboys were coming in. They took care of business. You get the Saints, you get the Browns, you get the Giants all coming to the lakefront. Those are games they have to take care of business because they still got to deal with the division games and get on the road and all of that. So I think Sunday is a pretty huge opportunity for the Bears. I think they should win. I don't think they played well enough yet for me to say, oh, they're going to blow that team out. It's a guaranteed win. You can put it in the books. They got to go out there and perform and do it, but they should be able to get their record to 4-2.
How do the Bears get the 10th overall pick in the 2025 draft more involved, Herb? Because he hasn't been involved yet. I know he was a little banged up, but come on, if you're going to take a luxury pick on a tight end in the first round, you got to get him involved.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get the tight ends involved in general, right? There's a lot of talk about how much 12 personnel Coach Johnson likes to use coming in. He's got two good ones, in my opinion. He's got two guys that could be really effective weapons for you. I think, you know, his offense is still just coming together, right? They're playing a little bit better, but they're still just coming together in terms of, you know, utilizing all of their weapons, creating the mismatches that they want to be able to create. Coastal Loveland should be a big part of that. They got to find ways to, you know, get him schemed up and unlock his vast potential, because you look at what he's able to do in terms of his size, his athleticism, his ability to catch the ball, his ability to run routes, get out in space, create mismatches. He should be a weapon for you. And I know that Coach Johnson understands that, and he wants to find ways to use that. But I think just the tight end position in general, they haven't really gotten that unlocked yet. But I think it's just another opportunity for them to, you know, get deeper in their development, the process of growing offensively. I think unlocking those tight ends will help them as they go further into the season.
As we record this just now, Herb, the Friday injury report is out, and it's going to be Jake Moody again kicking because Cairo Santos officially ruled out with that right thigh injury. So, same with Noah Sewell, who's dealing, he's in concussion protocol. So Cairo Santos out again. Jake Moody, quite the story. Third-round pick for the 49ers. After a couple of years, they had seen enough, waived him. Bears picked him up, knocks in the game-winning field goal. He's going to get another start at Soldier Field. So Grady Jarrett, questionable. DeAndre Swift, questionable. He was limited in practice. So was Grady Jarrett. And DJ Moore, this was good to see her, full participant in practice today. So he was kept overnight at Washington, precautionary reasons, but it looks like DJ Moore will be good to go. But Jake Moody, man, that was as clutch as it gets, coming through on a wet, rainy, windy night in Washington on the road, first game with the Bears, and comes through clutch. And Ben Johnson has said when Santos is healthy, he remains the starting kicker, but who knows? For as much as I like Santos and fans do, not the biggest leg, Herb, does kind of limit what they can do, especially when you see around the league guys booting mid-50s to 60-yard field goals. Maybe Moody makes this a little bit more of a competition than we anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, you hear something like, you know, when he's healthy, he's a starter. But nothing slows down the recovery process in the coach's eyes like the backup coming in and playing at a really, really high level, right? So he's not quite ready to go just yet, you know what I mean? And so I think Jake Moody continues to give himself an opportunity and continues to make the decisions tough on the coaches and on the front office, and that's what you want to do, right? You want to have tough roster decisions based on, you know, high-level productivity as opposed to having tough roster decisions based on low-level productivity, which we saw throughout the summer at left tackle. Like, who's the left tackle? And it's not like, oh, we got three great ones. It's like, we just don't have anybody playing well enough for me to say just yet, right? So right now I think that, you know, you look at the age of the two kickers that you have, and that comes into the conversation as well. You look at the strength of the leg, that comes into the conversation as well. But I don't ever want anybody to discount the skill that it takes to be the kicker for the Chicago Bears on the lakefront at Soldier Field and what the wind does there. I thought it was a really, really great test. And I asked special teams coordinator Coach Hightower this in his press conference yesterday, you know, how good of a test was it for Jake Moody to, you know, have his first kicking game as a Bear in the conditions that were out there in D.C. because they were pretty bad. I mean, it was raining sideways out there, KP. The wind was swirling. It was doing all kind of stuff out there. So I think he got a good opportunity to show that, hey, I can kick in some conditions because we know what it is on the lakefront. And as this season goes on, it's going to become more challenging. And Cairo has shown you time and time again he can perform in that environment. So let's not discount that. Let's not overreact. But it's good that, you know, Jake Moody gets another opportunity to say, hey, I can do this. It's supposed to be rainy, maybe a little wet on Sunday as well. So another opportunity for him to say, hey, I deserve to stick around and at least be in this conversation a little bit longer.
Hey, and you mentioned him, but good for Theo Benedetz. And Braxton Jones has been a total professional about this, but Benedetz takes over at left tackle, and that was their best game running the football all season by far. DeAndre Swift finally broke out, but maybe they've got something here in Theo Benedetz long-term with the offensive line.
Yeah, I felt exactly as Coach Johnson said in his press conference. I think it was probably like the middle of third quarter, and I looked up in the press box and I was like, I haven't thought a single thing about Theo Benedetz today. Yeah. And that's what you want from a young left tackle, from a young tackle. You're just like, yeah, I haven't really thought about him. I haven't really seen him. He hasn't really jumped out in terms of, you know, getting beat on the edge or penalties or anything like that. And so he must be doing okay. And he looked at the stats and we run the ball well and putting points up. So that's as good a compliment as you can give a young tackle at this point. And so I think he certainly earned the right to say, hey, I get another opportunity. And he's starting to solidify himself as maybe the guy going forward. Braxton Jones, like you said, consummate professional. But I think if Theo continues to perform the way he is, he's got the physical traits. He's a massive human being. He's athletic. He wants to be good. And listen, he got his opportunity however he got it. But if he's able to sustain it and start for, you know, 12, 13 games, then maybe the Bears have found something.
Is the Washington press box as terrible as everybody says it is?
I think it's pros and cons. I like that it's low. Yeah. It's probably the lowest press box I've been in, and so it gives you kind of a lower, close to the field perspective. But it's perched in the corner of one of the end zones, and so when the ball's on the other side of the field, it's 110 yards away, you know, to the other end zone. And so it's like that part not great. Food also not great. We know what Soldier Field's food is. So for me to say it's not great somewhere else, you know, it really must not be great. So yeah, there are some pros and cons to it. I like the low level that it's on. I hate where it's positioned, and then the food not great.
That is, well, I'll see you in the press box Sunday, noon kickoff, Bears. We got a run of noon kickoffs coming up for the Bears, which I like. It was
finally
kind of a weird run to start the year, some prime times, a Monday nighter, a Sunday nighter.
Yeah.
So a good stretch of some nooners here for the Chicago Bears, who are 3-2, going for four straight wins. I think they get it done against the Saints. Would it be surprised if it's a little closer than many would like? But I think they'll take care of business Sunday at Soldier Field. That's Herb Howard from the Bigs. Follow him on Twitter. I just had your Twitter up. Now I don't. Here it is, HerbHoward411. Bears reporter does a great job. And the Herb Howard Show, right? We should plug that.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. Shout out to the Herb Howard Show. Find it on the Bigs Media YouTube page. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, you're the man, Herb. Appreciate you jumping on once again. Always great talking Bears with you. And once again, follow Herb on Twitter at HerbHoward411. Herb, I'll see you at Soldier Field Sunday.
Looking forward to it, brother. I'll holler at you.
That is Herb Howard from the Bigs. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. Thank you for listening. And yeah, I think the Bears win. I think they take care of business Sunday against the Saints and improve to 4-2. Thanks again for listening. I'm Kevin Powell. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.